Hello and welcome to Wise Women, the Vicar and the Witch. I'm Maggie Whitehouse and I'm the Vicar.
And I'm Susie Crockford and I'm the Witch. We are perceived, perhaps, as being on opposite ends of a spectrum, but we're friends and we see the common threads of our different experiences of the sacred. So please join us as we discuss
life, the universe and everything.
Happy Christmas!
Happy Christmas.
From the witch to all the Christians.
And happy post-solstice joy and delight from the vicar to all the non-Christians. And it may also be, I wonder if it's the Sikh festival. I haven't looked that up at the moment, but it might well be. There are so many faiths that have some form of festival this time of year. Again, of course
you've got... Festival of the Returning Light.
Yes, indeed. Of course. I mean, even Diwali, which is usually earlier in the year, is a festival of light as we go down into the darkness, isn't it? We have to do these things.
Yeah. No avoiding our relationship with our blue-green jewel of a tumbling world.
Oh, what a lovely phrase. I really like that.
I think I stole at least some of it off Martin Shaw.
What, Martin Shaw, the
storyteller and the author?
Oh, right. Different Martin Shaw. Okay.
Oh, yes. No. Not that one. Not the professionals Martin Shaw.
No, well, he's moved on a bit. He did a foreword to one of Stephen Jenkinson's books.
Oh, did he?
Oh, yes.
Are you sure that's not my Martin Shaw?
Nah, that's a very good question.
That's my Martin Shaw.
Probably your Martin Shaw.
Yes. Okay, Martin Shaw is a very, very eminent author and storyteller and runs a PhD or an MA or something, an MA at Schumacher. That'll be my Martin Shaw.
Okay, wrong-footed at the very beginning, and that's fine. Drat. I was thinking this powerful actor was really getting in on the act.
Oh, that's hilarious. I'd forgotten the other one existed. That's hilarious. Oh, dear Seth, do you want to come up here? I'm not going to carry you up, but if you want to jump, that's fine.
She's talking to a beautiful champagne-covered beagle.
Champagne-covered? My, how the world is evolving.
Well, it is Christmas, obviously.
Absolutely.
It's a very strange Christmas for us this year, but it's lovely. It's just us.
Yeah.
And my brother's just doing just them.
Just them.
Because we're actually freed from the blessing stroke curse of having to involve mother.
Yeah.
And she was always had to be involved because you couldn't just leave her.
Of course, you couldn't just leave her, no.
No, mind you, she kept telling us to. This time last year, we drove up for the day.
I remember.
Yeah. So just
didn't you drive up with Christmas dinner in the car?
Oh, yes, we cooked it on Christmas Eve, drove it up on Christmas Day and ruined one of her saucepans with the Christmas pudding. Oh, damn.
God.
Anyway, God bless her. I hope you're having a wonderful time up there, but it's just going to be so peaceful. So beautifully peaceful. And because it won't be... The difficulty with Christmas is it's turned down into a Thanksgiving, not... as in Thanksgiving, but it's an American Thanksgiving family festival where you have all some... You're feeding my beagle, aren't you?
I'm very sorry, but she's discovered that there's a biscuit in my pocket and I fear she's going to eat my dress if she doesn't get it.
The word no does exist in her life.
Well, I'm all out of biscuits in the pocket now,
yes. Well, you're a kind of godmother.
It's not even a whole biscuit. It's only the edge of a biscuit.
And it's a Christmas present.
And it is a dog biscuit.
Yes, and it's a Christmas present.
It's a happy Christmas, Sappho. Sorry, I completely derailed your story.
I'm sure I can't remember what it was. It wasn't important.
Christmas has turned into a family thing, you were saying.
Christmas is... I seem to notice a pattern, and it seems to be astrological, which is we go up to Christmas in Sagittarius, which is party time. It's also philosophy. So Sagittarius is the big philosopher. So for many people, Advent is a sacred time or coming up to the solstice. But then we swing on the solstice into Capricorn, which is a cardinal sign, which is the kickstart of the winter season, you know, the kickstart of the return of the sun, but the great cold. Mm. And Capricorn is also all about duty. And it seems to be that we party, 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 and then give in and go home and do the duty with the family.
You're such a cynic. Grief.
Yes, I know. I'm a terrible cynic. I think it's probably because family Christmases haven't been the happiest ones in my life. And for other people, that may be a wonderful thing. But we don't do what you were suggesting last time. I love this thing about planting the seed and starting to nurture it. Mm. And festival time is lovely, but basically Christmas, we eat ourselves stupidly and watch the telly, don't we?
As a culture, yes, yeah. I believe so.
Yeah, as a culture. We're going to the beach.
Are you?
Yeah.
Nice.
Because we've moved half an hour closer to the coast.
Hooray.
So half an hour's drive and a lovely afternoon walk on the beach. Sounds perfect to me.
Oh, gorgeous. Yeah, that's... When we used to live in East Devon, we lived very close to Exmouth Beach, and there was always a Christmas afternoon walk on the beach. Now for us, there's a Christmas afternoon walk on the Cleve.
Yeah.
Which is glorious. Yeah. Yes. I have to admit, hilariously, that I absolutely love Christmas, because we do celebrate on Christmas Day that aspect of, you
know, solstice, yeah, the return of the sun.
And so we do have a feast, and we do have gifts under the tree and a big walk, but there's no, you know, it's no bigger a feast than any other feast we might have, and we don't turn it into some kind of horrible consumerist frenzy. But I do love the fact that typically, not at all every year, but typically, my kids do come home and we are a family, and we always, I don't think we've ever had one without at least another family, either part of our own family or people that we love, or, you know, kind of waifs and strays Christmases where people who we know who don't really have anywhere else to go, or they're too far away from their family, or they've recently split up or whatever.
Yeah.
There's always someone else there. And
that's really important, isn't it? Because they sort of act as a pivot point that brings a different focus, so you don't just get ordinary family squabblings because there's somebody else there.
We don't do ordinary family squabblings. No, of course. We have feasts.
I'm just going to go and sit in the corner and eat worms.
It is interesting, though, isn't it?
Yes.
Because to you, you know, Vicar and Witch aside, Christmas has been a bit kind of, oh God, this. Whereas to me, Christmas is woohoo!
Yeah.
And I just really want to point that out. In a way, back to the is the date white privilege, just to emphasise how completely we all do live in our own little reality.
Yes.
And that our experience creates the world that we live in, as do our expectations.
Yes.
And that it's so incredibly important to be, to ferret and know that this is the case, to be the one who's awake and looking around and going, oh my heavens, yes.
Yes.
I'm having an amazingly wonderful time. I totally love Christmas. I absolutely live in the insanity of the privilege of being able to put a big, fat, plump meal on the table and sit there and eat it with those who I love the best in the world.
Yes.
And to remember that by no means even half the world can do that. Not only not on that day, but not on any day.
Yes.
And to always, always, always be in the expansiveness of not opposition, but inclusion of all the other realities, all the other ways of seeing the world, all the other versions of what it is to be alive, and to send them not in a projected, I'm offering you what I have because what I have was obviously the very best thing, but my prayers that their hearts and lives and physical experiences, emotional experiences, spiritual experiences be nourished in the way that mine is on this day.
Yes.
And to understand that because we live in an indivisibly interwoven world, part of my service on that day is not to fall into the contorted service of selfishness to go kind of, wah-ha-ha, aren't I lucky, look what I've got, but also not to fall into guilt, but instead stand totally and utterly in gratitude and to offer out my love, my joy, my gratitude, my utter, utter, utter thankfulness, back to that word.
Yes.
That this is what's happening for me on this day, for those I love on this day. May our joy and our goodwill and all the rest of it radiate out into the warp and weft of what else is and touch what it can. That's really important.
That's so beautiful, Susie. Thank you. It's lovely.
Oh, thanks.
And it, yes, it makes me realise why I've instituted lots of little Christmas rituals for me that mm-hmm. do make it special, because I was raised in a family where the routine was you got your stocking, which was fine.
Yeah.
You couldn't open your stocking until your parents were up to watch you open it.
Oh, my God.
So you didn't ever open the stocking until everybody was... You could do it in your dressing gown in Mum and Dad's bedroom. That was okay. And then no presents until Mother had got absolutely all the dinner on and was ready to come into the sitting room. Then she would sit and watch us opening our presents. And then instead of being able to go and play with them, we had to sit and watch her open her presents separately.
Whoa.
And then it was lunchtime.
Oh, my goodness.
It was a bit of a nightmare, I must admit. And finding other people's Christmases weren't like that was lovely.
Yeah.
But my favourite Christmas ritual is one I posted on Facebook this week, and you noticed it, is the night on the night of the Nativity. The Christmas Eve tray.
Lovely, yeah.
I do that every year. And I will
just tell it for those that missed it.
Well, there's an ancient saying which is that if you will put out, if I can remember, a wisp of hay for a lost horse, a bone for a starving dog, a wreath for a vagrant and a coat for the vagrant, and some sweets for children, and some seeds for the birds.
Mm-hmm.
And you put it out on a tray on Christmas Eve, and then on Christmas morning you go out and see what's been taken. And when I lived in a city, it was wonderful because nearly everything went.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody would walk along and take the coat. And you had to put, these are gifts, please take, because otherwise most people would just walk past. But you would, in the countryside, not an awful lot happens because people don't go past the house. But here there's more people coming past the house, so maybe somebody will take something. But it doesn't matter. It's the offering of gifts.
Yeah.
And you have to work out how to do it. Well, sometimes manage to make a holly wreath. Sometimes I just put some tinsel out and then go and fetch it from the hedgerow the next day. And I will put out oats for the birds. And there's always, I can always put out a raw bone for a dog. That's always gone because a fox will take that.
Yeah.
And an old coat. And one year I just simply didn't have a coat I could spare, so I put out a towel. You know, it was just a cloak, just something.
Mm-hmm.
Something that says, I wish to feed you.
Nice.
And it feels really special to do it, especially if it is a cold, one of those wonderful, cold, crisp nights.
Mm.
You know, you go out and you leave this and think, yeah, I just want to give back, you know?
Yeah, yeah, always. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I thought it was lovely. And I like it that it's a Christmas Eve thing, because I'm always with that thing of the day for me starts when the sun goes yes. down on the previous day.
Yes.
And possibly, you know, aside from the inheritance of Gaelic Celtic culture that is that in my childhood experience, there's also the inheritance of the Christian thing, which I don't know if it's an everybody Christian thing or just their kind of Christian thing, that we quite often used to go to midnight mass.
Yeah, I love rather midnight than, mass. Yes.
Well, I loved midnight
yes.
mass. Going to church in the dark and it's full of candles and yes. all the best songs are in that service.
Yes. And then they light the Christmas tree at midnight and put the baby in the manger.
Yeah. Really lovely. That's hilarious. Have I already told you my Christian songs story?
No, please do.
This was one of my most favourite moments ever, I think. It was so funny. Explosive laugh for me was me and my heavenly friend had kids at the same time. My eldest and her eldest were born a week apart, and our next kids were, you know, very close in age, and we were very much going through the sort of let's all go and mingle with other mothers and babies at play school, well, toddlers first and then play school and then school at the same time. And so inevitably our two little pagan children are in the nativity. And I think I'm right in saying that, was her daughter Mary? I can't remember. Mm. Anyway, and my eldest was a shepherd, and then my second one was the angel Gabriel and carried a star down the whole length of the village hall. It was terribly exciting. And the youngest was relegated back to being a shepherd, I think. No, one of them was a king. I'm sorry, children, if you're listening, but I can't remember. Anyway, during one of these, and I think it was when our eldests were very, very first at, I think it must have been play school, because it was in the village hall. out of this friend's mouth erupted halfway through the service, really quite loudly, after one of the songs, "Fucking Christians, they've got all the best tunes."
I will actually say that is one thing Christianity has done. It has created some pretty good music.
Yeah, really. Yeah. I was grooving around the kitchen with a friend the other day. We were making wreaths of holly and ivy and all sorts for our two front doors. She lives next to me. And we were singing the holly and the ivy and discovering that both of us knew most of the words, but certainly not all of them. But it is, it's a beautiful tune, and I love singing about holly and ivy, and it doesn't bother me that much that in there somewhere is a Jesus bit, but we neither of us could remember the Jesus bit.
Oh, just... it takes me, you know, I went to a church school, we never once had a nativity.
Really?
Never once put on a nativity play.
In a church school?
In a church school, Church of England school.
Did you put on anything?
Oh yes, we put on certain events and competitions and things like that.
But you didn't put on like a play?
No, there was never a nativity play. No, there were never any actual events around Christmas. I think we had a Christmas service in the church. But no, there was nothing like that. It was extraordinary.
Wow.
So I never even got the chance to be rejected for Mary and have to be 15th lobster.
I remember being in a nativity play. I think I was only ever in one. And I was an angel, and I remember my mum going to so much trouble to try and make me a halo that would stay above my head. With, I think we undid a coat hanger, and she made a little wire circle on my head. Oh, is it? And then a little stick up the back, and a wire circle at the top, and it was had gold tinsel wrapped around it, so it looked like a little halo. And I can remember to this day how insanely uncomfortable it was, but also how desperately proud I was of the fact that I had my very own halo. And that meant that I'd done being an angel properly.
Oh, indeed.
Because, well, because my story very much was that we tended to do a bit of a sort of second-rate job of joining in with those kind of realities in a way that was, that you know, cut the mustard, as it were.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, I was so proud of that halo. It was just like everyone else's halo.
Yeah, I had a strangely repressed childhood, I think. Oh, well, there you go. There's a Beacon Nativity at South Taunton that I've been to.
A hooey whatty?
It's called the Beacon Nativity because of the local parish magazine is called The Beacon. And it's at South Taunton. And it always makes me laugh every year. I put up a great long blog with lots of photographs about it because they have the angel Gabriel standing at Church House, which is an ancient...
Beautiful place.
Standing at the top of the stairs, talking into a microphone. And they have a couple of young people acting Mary and Joseph.
They do it out in the middle of the street.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, and it's absolutely enchanting. And they quite often get a donkey that's conveniently called Nazareth from the donkey sanctuary. And I laugh my head off because they then walk the donkey to Bethlehem. She doesn't ride it.
It's just probably too old and frail.
No, it's a lovely donkey. It could certainly manage an 8-year-old.
Or maybe there's a health and safety thing.
Of course there's a health and safety thing. I think it's so silly and so sad, but it's a lovely event. And people dress up as their shepherds.
When is it?
I don't know. I don't know if they'll have it this year. Of course they didn't have it last year.
Oh, did they not?
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
Well, we'd have missed it now anyway, so because this is the Christmas Eve one, it will have been a couple of days ago. So.
Ah, oh yes.
And now I'm not living in South Taunton, so I'm going to Hatherley stuff and Meath stuff, which is enchanting but different.
Yeah. Glorious.
But yes, we had the best songs this time of the year. They are good songs, aren't they?
They are good songs.
They are. And all the misheard lyrics, which are lovely.
Yeah. Well, actually, I thought you said a beaker Christmas. Yeah. What's that? Oh, yes.
Away in a manger?
Yeah.
No crypt for a bed? The little Malteser laid down his sweet head?
Oh, I remember somebody, oh my God, who was it that sang it? See the tree, how big it's grown. That's some ancient song.
Yes.
And there's this silly story that
Autumn of My Life, Bobby Goldsborough. Yes.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Where he was evidently repeatedly asked for the song about the cedar tree.
Yes.
And finally realised, it's See the Tree. How big it's grown. Not See the Tree. How big it's grown.
Oh, we could go on about this for hours. Chipmunks roasting on an open fire. I've got a whole load elsewhere. I'll go and look them up if you've got anything else to tell us about how you celebrate Christmas.
Me?
Yes.
No, okay. So, when I was a kid, very differently to yours, we were absolutely allowed to open our stockings, which were, little tidbits from Father Christmas in a sock. Left on the end of your bed because you'd been good.
Yeah.
And whoever was up first out of me and my brother would run to the other's bedroom and wake them up and go, let's see. And there was always a satsuma in the toe.
Yes.
And there were always some nuts, which I sincerely doubt either of us ever ate because they were nuts in their shells.
Yes.
Oh, no, we must have done actually because I remember having good fun cracking nuts. So I guess we must have eaten the nuts. And there would have been chocolate money.
Yes.
Yeah. And some kind of, little things.
I had Britain's toy animals. I loved them for my toy farm.
Oh.
Of course, they were plastic, weren't they? But they were gorgeous and I adored them.
I remember having those animals. They're standing on what looks like a drum and you press the thingy at the bottom and they make funny shapes.
Yes.
Called. I used to love those. I think I probably got one a year for quite a few years. I think at one point I might have had five or six of them. Mm. I loved them. So funny. And yes, I remember getting a yo-yo one year.
Yes.
And my brother mastered the yo-yo in half a second.
Yes.
And it took me weeks to be able to do proper yo-yoing.
And a slinky. So yes, a slinky going down the stairs. I love those. Brilliant. All those beautiful childhood toys. Yes.
Yeah.
The stockings were always good. I always loved the stockings. They were the best presents. And you didn't have to write thank you letters for those because on Christmas afternoon you had to write all your thank you letters.
Ugh. We didn't have to write thank you letters till a few days after Christmas. And then we had to write thank you letters. And I must say, I think the absence of thank you letters is a bit sad.
I quite agree.
I don't think we should be doing things because we should be.
Mm.
But it's a shame that, certainly in the world I live in, as soon as you took your foot off the neck with the should, the such things stopped.
Yes.
And, maybe if I'm lucky, I remember to send people a text saying thank you.
Yes.
But I know that all too often I forget, and that's awful.
Well, I've been fairly negative about my mother for a long time on this podcast, but one of the things that I have inherited from her, literally, is about 20 packs of tiny notelets.
Oh.
And those are really, really useful because they're like texts, but you can actually send a physical thing.
Yeah. I don't know if you get it, but when I get sent a physical thing that is neither a bill nor a bank statement, I don't even get bank statements anymore. They're all online. Mm. And in fact, not sure I get bills anymore. I think they might be all online too. It's very rare for post to come to our house.
It isn't.
But when it's a handwritten letter, it's like, it's not your birthday, it's not Christmas, something written by hand arrives in the post. Oh my goodness. The level of the wild excitement is, it must be hilarious to behold, frankly. Yes. I find it so exciting to get something written. And I'm so grateful always. And so I've taken to randomly, every now and then, I'll just pick a friend and write them.
Mm, that's a lovely thing to do.
It was done to me. It wasn't my idea. It was my wonderful childhood friend, Lottie, started it by writing me this great long letter, just like, I want to write to you because in the course of a chit-chat on the phone, we never go down these alleys because neither of us like the phone particularly. Mm-hmm. We both very much, I want to see your eye, communicators.
Yeah.
And so to get this letter all about, what was going on for her in her heart. And it wasn't, it wasn't a problem between us or anything. No. It was just, here's me on the page with so much love and now tell me how you are. And it was one of the most lovely things ever to arrive through the post.
Yes, my friend Fran, who died a couple of years ago, she and I wrote to each other after school. Mm. And after we'd finished school. I was in Cardiff at college. She used to come down weekends sometimes. And we wrote probably once or twice a week.
Wow.
All these lovely letters in fountain pen.
Yeah.
And they were lovely. And after she died, her daughter Charlie found one that she'd written to me and never sent, but she kept it.
Wow.
And it was the letter in which she said how much she was falling in love with the man she married. And she knew I disapproved of him, so she'd probably never sent it.
Whoa, how amazing.
It is, and it was just so enchanting to have a last letter from Fran.
Yeah.
And she was telling me off for being an idiot as well, and she was absolutely right. And I wish she'd sent that letter.
Oh, yeah.
And I would never have stopped her loving Trevor. How could you? You know, no. You can't. But she did know that I had my doubts. The reason I had my doubts about him was he had pretended to me that he got a baby with another woman and I mustn't tell Fran. So I had this terrible conundrum about whether or not to tell my best friend or betray a promise. And I never really forgave him. Well, I did forgive him for that, but I never forgot it and I never trusted him.
Why on earth did he do that?
It was a joke.
Completely bizarre.
To wind me up.
Whoa.
Whoa. Oh, well, never mind.
Gosh.
But yeah. I do still miss that girl, and the letters were lovely. And this year I actually bought myself a fountain pen again, because all my fountain pens had stopped breaking. And my writing is so appalling anyway, and always typing, writing books on computers and that kind of thing. Your fingers
your writing get out, gets worse and worse.
It gets worse and worse, yeah. And worse and worse. So a fountain pen with a nice thick nib. And I was so frustrated this year because I bought some lovely Christmas cards from the local post office and they were the kind of card that my fountain pen wouldn't write on.
Oh, because they're a bit shiny.
Yes.
Yeah, how annoying. I want to know about this when we're off air, just because I bought myself a fountain pen a few years ago and what I really, really, really wanted was a big fat nib and I thought I'd got a big fat nib and it turns out that it's not really that big and fat.
Yeah.
And I've always, when I was a biro buying girl, I used to get the 1.6mm ones because I like it when the ink is fat. It makes my writing, to my eyes, much more beautiful.
Yes, and it encourages you to form the letters as well, because if you have a very fine nib thing, you can get away with a scribble.
Yeah.
But if you've got a certain amount of, I get that.
You keep peering at the screen, are we running out of time?
No, I'm peering at my list of misheard carols, that's all. Oh. So I thought I might sing a few for you to close, shall I?
Go on then.
Okay. Oh, come all ye faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come, let us ignore him. Oh, come, let us ignore him. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is brown. Round the furniture, mother and child.
No way.
The virgin furniture. Joy to the world, the Lord has guns.
What should it be?
Lord has come. Good King Wences car backed out on the feet of Stephen.
Oh, that one's going to be on purpose, surely.
I think probably, yes. Get dressed, you married gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Oh, tiny bomb, Tenenbaum.
What is Tenenbaum? I heard somebody singing Tenenbaum the other day and just I have no idea what it is.
I think it's a Christmas tree. I think it's German for Christmas tree.
Ah.
But I could be wrong. That's okay. About
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I forgot about it, so I should have looked it up, but
yeah. Forgot. Ah. Oh.
How funny.
Yeah.
So, yes, you're going to the beach, you're going to have a gorgeous day, no one's going to make you watch the open presents.
Nobody's going to make me watch the open presents. And one of the things that's so important is to have the time beforehand, these last few days before Christmas, I've been really actively slowing down.
Yeah, okay.
Because I've heard so many people talk about how they use Christmas, they're so knackered. But they might be able to catch up with themselves over Christmas with a bit of rest. And I'm just sort of thinking, if we've got to the stage where we're having to try and rest through a festival, we're not getting the holidays we need. I mean, holidays are holy days. That's where the word comes from.
Yeah.
And I get that. But surely, I just have this thing that I think without women, Christmas would probably be a much happier time for women, in that if we didn't organise it, the blokes would just go out to the nearest supermarket or something.
Oh, no, that's so not true.
Isn't it?
No, Fergus is entirely responsible for the cooking of the Christmas feast.
Really?
Yep. And he makes a far better job of it than I would any time of this time of hell freezing over. Any side of this of hell freezing over. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's totally He is the Feastmaster. Interesting.
Oh, that's and marvellous.
I know he's not the only man I know who is the Feastmaster on.
Well, that's lovely, Christmas. But he doesn't run around getting silly presents for people who don't want it or placating the family
don't do
or
that.
Doing all. No,
we
you don't do any of that.
Anyway,
I just know that so many women get so frazzled at Christmas because they're just doing too much.
Mm.
And I'm not quite sure whether I'm trying to say rest over Christmas or I'm trying to say rest before Christmas so that you can actually enjoy Christmas.
Well, and also, you know what? Where's the motivation for that frazzle? Why do we run around expending our energy when we don't have it, buying, you know, I mean, we're back to the conversation that we've had repeatedly, buying loads of stuff that nobody wants, that's going to end up in a charity shop, that's going to end up in landfill, yada, yada, yada. But also, I really do think that somewhere in our culture, certainly in consumer culture, we appear to have lost the capacity to take a step back and go, why am I still doing this? Even though I know that, I know either deep down or really quite overtly, that this isn't good. It's not the world I want to live in. It's not the world I want to create. It's not how I want to live. Why am I still doing it? And I can't answer that for anyone, obviously.
No. There is so much should. And I'm reveling in the lack of should this year. I really am. Because even though Mum, I don't think she would be absolutely devastated if she knew how shoulded I felt by her. And I would buy her an amaryllis every year. It had to be the right colour. And she had to have certain things, and she, and everything had to be in the certain order, and everything had to be right, or it was just, and given away, you know. And so many times, we always had Christmas lists. You did not deviate from the list. And Mother had to have a list from which she would choose to buy something for you, so nobody else could have that list.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
You know, so I think we had a very big shoody kind of Christmas. And I think a lot of people just think they have to do it. They have to fly the banner. They have to do the best Christmas for the family or something. But basically what families need is happy parents, happy people.
Yeah, absolutely. And also people who aren't then propagating the should myth.
Yeah.
And I would venture to suggest, and it's just a suggestion, and it's not going to be true of everyone, that, and clearly from what you're saying about the oh and the giving it away, it definitely wasn't true in your case, but that so many of our shoulds are projections, and they are things that we think that person
exactly
says, but actually they don't.
No, my mother probably by the end of her life would be perfectly happy with a completely different flower and a completely different colour.
Yeah.
It was me that had still got that old patterning. Oh, yeah, I absolutely own up to that, yes. But it's realising there's a pattern, ye little sod again, and getting it to the ferret that's going to go sniff, 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 sniff. Does this still work? No, I don't think it does work. Let's move on.
Yeah. And, just all projections are, I mean, we live in a world of projections. Of course we do. It's not possible to entirely relinquish all your projections, I don't think. Maybe it is. I don't know. But just like, to go circle back to where we began last week, just like we need to be examining the ways in which we live in white privilege, so we need to be examining the ways in which the world of our expectations is a self-construct job, and that we will have been indoctrinated and kind of programmed into particular versions of reality and particular expectations, that once we've arrived at the point where we can, you know, wipe our own bums and do our own shopping, we need to be taking those to pieces and really look at what's the motivation behind my behaviour, what are the consequences of my behaviour, and how do I want to change that? What do I want the consequences to be?
Yes.
And that sometimes that might result in you doing exactly the same thing as what you were going to do anyway, but at least you'll know why you're doing it and you'll be doing it voluntarily and with, you know, the best, most loving of intentions rather than because you feel you should.
Yes. And following on from your that lovely phrase of yours, which is the way you do something is the way you do everything, the road to joy is the road itself. Mm-hmm. You can't get to joy on a road full of misery, overwork, frustration and anger.
Yeah.
Every moment has to be in the present moment. And why am I doing this? And what am I doing this for? And does this bring joy to anybody?
Including me.
Including and especially me. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And always, yeah, always back to it. More stock phrases from The Wish. Back in your sovereignty and your bloody service. You know? I'm even bored of hearing it myself. No, I'm so not. It is so important that we stand in our sovereignty, offering our service, never falling in out of sovereignty and into selfishness, never falling out of service and into servitude. Yes. It's fundamental to be able to authentically stand in your own power and therefore fulfilling your part of the warp and the weft of what is.
Yes.
Ever, ever onwards on the road to hopefully more joy and more deep love and more utter fulfillment and more of the more beautiful world our hearts know is possible, to steal Charles Eisenstein's phrase.
Yes, and always question it. Question yourself, why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. Is this a projection? Is this assured? Is it something I actually get joy from doing? Am I giving a gift out of anger because that's not going to work?
Yeah.
You know, what's going
on here?
Who's
it for?
Yes.
And what will its consequences be?
Yes. Yeah,
for the greater world.
And of course, that's quite a big responsibility, which is another reason why we'd run away from it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But just one little thing, always, when we rant at you about stuff, it's all we want is to say, just look at one thing.
Yeah.
Just one thing in your life. If it's not quite working, can you amend that one thing? Because that will have a small snowball effect.
Totally.
When one thing is amended, something else will come along. Something else will need to change or something. So never try to feel overwhelmed. Our job is just to do what's in front of us.
Yeah.
And to do it with joy, if we can.
And to do what's ours to do. Yes. Yeah. And to really, really, really not stand in that place of, oh my goodness, I'm a total failure at all of these things, therefore I'm completely shit and worthless and shouldn't bother doing any of them.
Yeah.
One at a time is the only way we can do any of it, really.
Yeah.
Just what's here right now is all we can deal with this moment.
Yeah.
But also that every step in the right direction is a step in the right direction.
Yes.
And it's one you weren't making 5 minutes ago or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And we really, really need to understand, all of us, you know, as a bigger culture generally and as individuals, that the reality is only now. So what we do now is all there is. It matters so much. So on the one hand, don't be thinking, oh, well, I'll just do it tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. Mm. And today I'll just, you know, buy the shit plastic one or whatever it is. But also that we can only do what's ours to do. And what's ours to do is right here, right now in this moment.
Yeah.
And so there isn't, you're not achieving anything at all except miserying your own life by going, oh, I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that and I'm not doing the next thing. You haven't got the opportunity to do those things right now.
No. No. What can you do now?
Yeah.
And if the only thing you can do now is go and have a nap, do it.
Do it.
See you next week.
Happy Christmas.